So now we'll turn to some panel discussion, some questions. And Ryan, why don't I start with you on that statewide production adjustment. Is that fixed or is that varied? And where can people go to see that information?
That's a good question, Shannon. That's from my best understanding, that's going to vary, right, based on specific factors that happen within your state, right? So it's going to adjust for some of those changes. The best way to look at that, RMA does a really nice job putting out information on this. So RMA, and I'd visit with your insurance agent if you can find one that's selling dairy revenue protection, so it'd have to be a certified crop insurance agent. But they're going to be the ones that you would discuss and analyze, and they would be able to look at that historically and understand that production adjustment and how it relates to your individual operation.
Very good. How about for both the dairy margin coverage and dairy revenue protection, when are the premiums due? Are they due at when you sign up, or are the premiums paid at the end of the endorsement, net of the indemnity?
Ooh, that's a – let me – Russ, do you know off the top of your head on the
– at the end of the endorsement or at the end of the period, you know, that's when they would come due. So there's I don't believe there's any upfront cash on it, yeah. But I'm not entirely sure on that with the dairy margin coverage either. I'm pretty sure that with the DRP, but as with all the other insurance products, yeah.
Russ, Ryan, I'm pretty sure with the DMC, it's at the end.
Yeah, that's what I believe, but
yeah.
And so, Russ, how would you compare the dairy margin coverage to those producers in the upper Midwest versus some of our producers in the West?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Shannon, in the sense that, you know, like I mentioned, that 5 million pounds is probably, you know, maybe a couple hundred cows. So if you are in Wisconsin, you know, where the average herd size is less than that, you're getting a relatively larger percentage in relation to your production. But at the same time, you're still able to take advantage of the same dollar amount in terms of up to that 5 million pounds in Tier 1 and benefit, you know, on the same dollar basis per dairy. But you're right. I mean, in terms of it's not like a payment based upon production like a lot of the commodity programs, I guess, would be, you know, in terms of you get – there's a production factor in there where here it's you get the production factor just up to the 5 million pounds, and then you're off in Tier 2, which is, you know, 10 times as expensive, yeah.
Yeah. Very good. So maybe Hernan, if you, there's a question on exports outlook for, and where do you see exports of milk impacting price and in turn these programs?
Yeah. So exports of dry whey have been increasing back to China. They do that for their swine, the pigs. And so that's been increasing, and also our cheese products have been able to go in, increase their penetration in Asia Pacific markets. So those are two markets that are in crescendo in this period. Mexico with the U.S. MCA, you know, we anticipated more dairy going in there. I believe cheese will get back to the previous stages before tariffs were put into place, but it's still very slim compared to skim milk, which is the biggest one, and that has not been as much. We haven't exported as much as we used to year over year, but I anticipate getting things back to normal in that market, and that's our biggest market, and so things getting increasing there too. So that's what I can say about exports.
Thank you, Hernan. And then extending that to the dairy margin coverage, Russ, what's your outlook on the feed cost formula as part of that dairy margin coverage, and where do you think that, how might that impact utilization of dairy margin coverage?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, the forecast from a farm service agency when they're showing that, you know, margin under the 950 there in the, you know, for a good chunk of next year, I think that's what's built into that is, you know, higher feed costs, especially on the soybean and corn side, you know, and, you know, even on, you know, on the alfalfa a little bit to a certain extent, you know, we've seen fairly strong sides. So, I mean, it is, I think, as much the feed cost that's driving that margin down as more than the demand side on the forecast. Yeah, so definitely, I mean, I think, yeah, it's another reason to have some form of coverage in this kind of market environment.
Yeah, and when, how much time do producers have yet left to sign up for dairy margin coverage? Because you presented some information where I think, what was it, close to a little over 20% right now in the enrollment period.
Right, yeah, so I should have emphasized that. I was thinking everybody would have that on their mind being watching this, but yeah, I mean, December 11th is the last date for sign-up, as I understand. So, and that's something that you have to go down and do, sign up. It's not like you just, if you signed up last year, it's going to roll you over. No, you have to sign up. So, yeah, there's not a lot of time, but, I mean, I guess, you know, some people may be waiting till the end to kind of get a better judge on what the market's going to be, but I would say the time is here to sign up if you have any inclination at all of doing so. Yeah.
And so Russ, you sign up for the dairy margin coverage where? Who do you contact
sure,
to initiate
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so your local farm service agency is where you would sign up. You sign up for the dairy margin coverage. Yeah. Which would be
and Ryan, for the dairy revenue protection, how would a producer initiate action to get more information or pursue developing a policy?
So they'd have to buy dairy revenue protection through an authorized crop insurance agent. So, you know, if they don't currently have one that they're working with, RMA has a little tool where you can find the agent locator. But most of these areas that have dairy, there's going to be a crop insurance agent, but they got to buy one through a authorized crop insurance agent.
And do you know on the dairy revenue protection, you're enrolling for a quarter? Does it pay on a month, or do you get the average outcome of the quarter?
Do you get the payout of it? Say that one more time, Shannon.
So on the dairy revenue protection, you're signing up an endorsement for a quarter. But do the triggers occur monthly, or are they averaged over the quarter?
I believe they're averaged over the quarter.
Okay.
Because those actual ending milk are a component of, they're based on those monthly average prices.
Okay. Very good. And Hernan, you're in the southern Idaho area, real heavy milk production area. Has there been any new processing plants come online to deal with the expanding production?
Yeah, so there was a production line that was supposed to come in. It was ultra-high filtered milk processor, but given the pandemic, construction of it has been delayed. There was a processor of proteins and stuff that expanded their capacity last year, so pre-pandemic. So, yeah, down here in the south of Idaho, we have a lot, over 350,000 cows. We're always wanting more capacity, but at this time it's been put on hold, that new project.
Okay, thank you. And then as a closing question, maybe some comments on the CFAP program relative to dairy, and is there any outlook for that into 2021?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's not clear at this point. The producers have been favored well with that, and it has been, as I mentioned, I think, been reflected in their revenues of producers. So it has made a good impact on them, but this at the same time has resulted in a lot of milk still being produced, as I showed in the slide. So I'm not sure there will be a new program rolling out, though I could be wrong, but we'll see what happens with the new policies coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the food box program, you know, it kind of definitely helped push the prices up after the low there in the pandemic, and but that's another added risk. I would view that in terms of going forward, just because the policy could come and go just as quickly. Yeah.
Yes, Russ is right on. Yep.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, I think it's clear that each of the presenters really articulated well the risks facing dairy producers in milk price and in feed cost, export trends, and now even COVID outlook as we move forward. So again, we urge you to take proactive risk management, partner up the dairy margin coverage up to that tier one at least, given its high subsidy level, and then investigate the dairy revenue protection if that fits into your farm's production plan. So thanks again to our three speakers today, Dr. Ryan Larson, Dr. Russell Tronstad, and Dr. Hernan Tejeda, all here in the West, all gave you their contact information if you want to search them out and ask them further questions. So thank you for that, for those three. And thank you for taking the time today to be on this webinar. We have future Ag in Uncertain Times webinars on food distribution systems in December and January. So stay tuned for information releases on the availability of those programs. And what area or topic that you would like to see offered in the future, either send us an entry in the chat pod, or please send an email information to information@farmmanagement.org, and we'll investigate and try to make that happen in future webinars. As mentioned earlier, the recordings and other information are available at the Ag in Uncertain Times website, which we will provide additional instructions on how to access in just a minute. If you're interested in a copy of any of today's presentation slides, they are also available for download. Let me close by again extending our thanks to today's speakers for their first-class presentations on dairy risk management. And thanks to our Ag and Uncertain Times team and their sponsoring institutions for making this series possible.